No, the Giordano paper was population-based, SEER-based data. The other paper that was presented was from a randomized Canadian trial, CEF versus CMF. Can you talk about what they found and what your thoughts were on that? That was the one where the ejection fraction dropped in a high fraction of
patients. Yes, there was a small subset of the patients in whom there was a progressive decrease in the ejection fraction, but not much in the way of clinical congestive heart failure.
Right.
In that population over a follow-up period in the order of a year and a half or 2 years.
Right, yeah. It was short-term follow-up, but a lot of drops in ejection fraction.
A lot of drops in ejection fraction, but very little congestive heart failure. And the drops in the ejection fraction, many of them were large drops within the normal range. And I was a little bit troubled from that. For instance, a fall in ejection fraction from 70 to 55. It's not at all clear that that is going to be clinically meaningful over time.
How accurate are ejection fractions? What about MUGA versus ECHO? And what kind of heterogeneity do you see between different people, different places doing the tests?
The guidelines in cardiology say that it is highly operator dependent and that they can be used more or less interchangeably depending upon your confidence in the laboratory. They are highly correlated, the ejection fraction measured by MUGA and ECHO, but the kappa statistic, which is a measurement of the variability, is substantial between the two, so that although there is a regression line that fits the two, if you take any one given patient, you can expect a substantial variation in the ejection fraction between the two methodologies, particularly in the better ventricular function range, in the ejection fractions above 45 or 50. You know, 5, 10, 15 unit difference in these two measurements is not uncommon. When you start getting into very poor ventricular function in the 30s or the 20s, the measurements are closer together. The reason for that is as you get to small end systolic volumes and diastolic volumes, any minor change in that volume is going to be amplified dramatically. But when the ventricles are big, if you make a small error in your tracing of the end systolic or the end diastolic volume, which go into the calculation of the ejection fraction, it has much less of a percentage error. The other thing that's true is that physiologically, people with normal ventricles vary from moment to moment, day to day, in terms of what their, quote, contractility is, depending upon what's going on in the environment. But someone with an impaired ventricle has much less ability to vary their function from moment to moment. So for those two reasons, the variability is greater around the normal range than it is in the markedly abnormal range. So the biggest problem arises for people who are at the junction of normal and abnormal, the 50% type of ejection fraction.